Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit.
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 200, Palm Daddy, we made it. Can you believe it? We got an absolute banger today. We got three ladies, Bethany Schriever, Meryl Smulders, Laura Smulders. It's going to be a fun all-women show plus Tori and James. How's it going, James?
I'm nervous. I'm a little nervous. Big show. Big superstar ladies on the show. I hope they do most of the talking for us because that's what it's all about today.
Ladies, how we doing? Thanks so much for joining us. We're happy to have you on.
Well, thanks for having
We're
us.
We're excited.
What were you guys doing today? You told us you had a big day. You guys are all training today?
Well, for me and Lemmy, this day started very early. We woke up 4:15 Dutch time, which is 3:15 this time, to go here to ride with Beth. So we arrived at the airport like 8:30, went to the track, had lunch, had a coffee, then had a track session this afternoon. It was great. Nice and windy.
Oh, fantastic.
For those people that don't know where you girls are, where are you?
Glasgow. Scotland, yeah.
what an accent.
Yeah, I'll never do it again. James,
you know what they have in Scotland? Progate Europe.
Progate Europe, winning starts with the Great Gate. All three of these ladies, great starters on a Progate Europe at the track in Glasgow. It's a good one. You can't tell me that's not one of the best gates around there.
It's a pretty quick one.
It's so fast.
Are we all pro fast gates? Like, are we all fans of fast gates here?
Yeah.
Gotta get yours today. Go get yours today.
Beth, how do you say Glasgow properly?
I just say Glasgow.
She said it the Essex way.
If I was to try and be Scottish, she'd be like, Glasgow. Hey,
I've never been to Scotland. Is it hard to understand the local accents?
Oh, it's bad. Even I can't really understand. They're like, these guys, not English being their first language, like, don't know how you do it.
They're just rambling stuff and you're like, sorry? Yeah. Can you repeat that again? And then they say exactly the same thing. I don't understand.
You know what gets really tough is like, you have to ask them once, sure, but if they say it a second time, it's like, fuck, do I ask them a second time to repeat themselves or just nod politely?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Smulder sisters, hearing different accents, what's the easiest English speaking accent to understand?
Well, we get taught British English at school.
But I don't mind. Australian, New Zealand, like Kiwis, I understand
Essex,
quite
Essex,
well.
Essex.
GB's easy. Bottle water.
That's bad.
Dude, I swear sometimes like
Canada, it's all good.
I used to have to ask Kyle Evans a couple times to repeat himself. I couldn't understand what he was saying half the time.
You know what?
I guess it just depends on how quick they talk, though. Because if they start talking too quickly, then it's like, okay, say that again.
You know how you can set your Siri on your iPhone to different, like, I will say tones? What do you guys have your Siri set to?
I don't use Siri.
Oh, yeah, yours is a little bit dark, isn't it?
Well, no, because my phone's set on English.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I think I have mine in a British setting.
Yeah, nice. British.
Yeah. British. Why do you have your phone in English and not Dutch?
We have a brother, and our brother is in IT. And according to him, if you have a problem with your laptop or your phone, it's easier to look the problem up in English instead of Dutch because there's way more info on it in English.
Makes sense.
Well, I just like it more. Yeah, we get it anyway. So
yeah. don't know, easy.
Getting back to the track there in Glasgow, what do you ladies think of it now this year?
It's good. They were actually working on it this morning again, so it was in perfect shape when we were riding it this afternoon. No, it's just the third and last straight is a bit mellowed down, and the one into the second turn for us girls, it's a bit weird. Yeah, we still need to find out what we're going to do there, but yeah, the rest is it's good. I like it.
How's the third straight now?
Way better. Way better.
How so? How so?
We're struggling with that. So it's a bit more forgiving. Like even the boys can drive way more speed for it now. So yeah, way better.
That's probably good. You'd think it was very much just like a stabby, like kind of stop and go kind of straightaway. It didn't have any flow to it before, which kind of sucks. So it's nice to be able to carry a little more speed finally.
Yeah, no, it's definitely better.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of talk over here in the U.S., especially with amateurs going over. They're all nervous for the third straight.
I think they're going to struggle a little bit, but that's, yeah. Oh, well. You know, next year we're going to be back in Brooklyn, so they can pedal across everything. So.
Okay, well, that's one of the things we did want to ask you ladies about, might as well just hop into that now, is you guys, you three ladies especially, have, like, your skills have progressed so much in the past few years. The women's class has progressed so much in the past few years, but it seems like the tracks are just getting more basic. Does that frustrate you guys at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It's actually quite annoying. Like, definitely for what we are capable of right now. Looking back, like when I started the World Cups back then, we would struggle with some of the straights, but we would still make it work. But now, if we would have the same straights, it would be easy. But the straights are actually going to get easier. So it's like, why are we not being challenged sometimes?
Yeah, and that doesn't mean we have to get like a pro set or anything. But like, a lot of the straights are built also for the challenge classes. But then it isn't very like challenging for us anymore. So.
Yeah, it's a good point, Meryl, because a lot of the straights you ladies will race will be like a straight a six-year-old rides too.
Yeah.
In an ideal world, what would you like to see your second and third straights like at World Cups, World Champs?
Jumping. Well, a bit more technical. A few big jumps would be cool. Like we were saying today, the old jump into the second turn here in Glasgow was quite a big jump, but it wasn't hard, it wasn't dangerous, but it was actually a jump, which was nice. In all fairness, I do think it's pretty cool that our sport has that, like we do share a track with all the kids. Like being a kid, like a six-year-old or seven-year-old, it's of course awesome to have your idols at the same place. Like no other sport does that, which I think is a cool thing.
True.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. Not to relate it to golf, but it's like one of the coolest things in golf is that you can play the golf course the pros play, and that's the same thing with BMX. Like not all sports get to play the same course that the pros get to ride on. So
like something else would be an idea, maybe crazy idea, but just for us, when it's us racing, just put like a grass mat somewhere in between a jump.
Yes.
We have to jump it. For the kids, you can just like
break it out. Yeah.
That's the easy solution. But I think we could do a way better, like track builders can do a way better job of making a challenge straight actually challenging for us and still fine for all the other classes to race on.
I'm a big believer to even just putting a piece of grass down the inside of the jump looks better. And like, it forces people in their mind that they're like, oh, I have to jump it now too.
Yeah. And it's like still safe to not do it, but like you will definitely slow down if you don't.
Yeah. Or they could do some triples in the second straight where it's like you get rewarded for jumping the whole thing, but it could, and you can go two in, one out, but it's a lot slower would be probably a good way to do it also. Yeah. What kind of rhythm section do you ladies like to see on your straightaway? You want to jump through it? Do you like a combo of jumping and manualing? What do you think?
Multiple options.
They're like Glasgow, saying it. That's pretty mixture of both. Jump that big triple at the end.
That's what I liked last year about how much of a difference there was between girls on the third straight. Like, of course, it wasn't like if you're coming into it, you're always kind of like scared of making a mistake, because it would be like, if you would, you could have rushed pretty hard. But I think that is cool how like how you can actually showcase your skills on a straight with like different options, jumping or manualing through. Yeah.
Like, are we thinking like something like even at the Olympics when we had the shared second straight? I know it's not a rhythm section, but are you guys a fan of that part too? Because one of the debate topics was like, yeah, do we need to start just making rhythm sections just the same, so we don't have to worry about the split section?
I think the idea was great. Yeah, it could have worked out a little bit better, but I think the idea was great. It was fun. But I do get that it would be hard, because like Tokyo, we could do the triples on the second straight, but then for the guys, especially if they had tailwind, it would be too small. They would go too fast. But it's hard.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's hard to make it both for, or this is like
perfect for both worlds is too, yeah, it's probably,
yeah, it's really tough to obviously, yeah, but make it ideal.
You remember Chula, like the London track,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, London track, the third straight,
mm-hmm.
We had broke up in 2013 and 14 there.
Mm-hmm.
That one was really good, and that was so tech for us. Like, yeah. Some people would be manualing, a lot of people would be jumping, but that was good. You don't know.
No, I was going to say, Meryl, Beth, did you guys even get to race that one?
Yeah, I was going to say, Laura, too. Like, I think from what I remember, the second half was the same for guys and girls, basically, right?
Yeah.
And there was deep rollers, too. Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, big rollers.
Yeah, they're super deep.
That was a good straight.
Those ones were nasty. Like, you could get bucked easy.
Yeah, yeah. And then Elise and Mariana would always be jumping through, and then some of the taller ones, so Sarah and I would be manipulating or whatever. But, yeah, that was cool.
For sure, with one straightaway too, like it makes it much easier the first corner, because I feel like a lot of tracks when you have to cut back, like you ladies do, really sucks.
It's not ideal, no.
We had the talk with Sylvan, and we've had it like after Tulsa, because there's a few incidents as well. But it's like, what is your girl's opinion on the, like if you have to cut the line because you're getting squeezed out, if you pull in and pull into second behind somebody, is that fair? Is that fair racing? Or does somebody need to pull brakes completely to like completely go in the line and maybe lose, I don't know, four spots instead of one spot?
I mean, the rule is like, of course you're getting pushed over. Like you're not going to go voluntarily over the line. Well, you can do that too, but like on purpose. But if you're going to get pushed over the line, as long as you're not gaining anything with it. Now, of course, you need to go back as quick as possible back onto track. But yeah, you can debate about it in every situation, of course.
Just pull a Stephanie Hernandez in Rotterdam and just send the guy's side.
Yeah, that one, you can get extra points. We should have a trophy for that shit. Send in pro set when you get pushed out. Yeah.
That would be so scary. Like you've never hit it, and all of a sudden you're just going full speed, and you weren't even thinking about it. Oh my god!
There was at some point we were allowed to use your guys' lip of the second straight, and then just jump across back into our straight. That's dangerous.
Send a lip twice as tall and steep on the same jump.
Yeah, and then just come back in, and maybe there's someone there. You don't know.
Yeah, fuck it. Get out of the way. Coming through.
Yeah. Especially with our turns, we have to like turn, go back. And sometimes it's hard. Yeah. I've used the lip before. Yeah.
You kind of have to, yeah.
You know what? Just build two tracks. We have that money.
I think it does make it tough. Like, I don't know, the ruling to me is tough, because it's like it's about who gets the advantage, or it's like as long as you don't pass a rider or gain an advantage by going off track, you just hop back on, you're fine. But it's like that person slots in right behind you, keeps going, and then just pass you the next turn. I mean, is that enough of an advantage? It's like, yeah.
I mean, we were having this discussion at the track after Tulsa, and if you would put, you know how you have the tough blocks or the inflating ones, mm-hmm. If you have the line the block can be there like 30 centimeters off of the line. If there's blocks there, nobody's gonna hit the block on like
right
on purpose. Like you don't want to hit the block. Now in Tulsa there were only those like silly little cones. Yeah, you can just go around and come back.
True. Are we talking about the ones on the first straight, like the ones on the first straight?
If you just put one big line of those inflating things or whatever on the inside,
that's
but
the best.
30 centimeters off of the line, not on the line.
I was going to say, that's the best way to describe the silly little cones.
Yeah, you can hit them. They're not going to hit you back. You're not going to crash. Yeah. But if you clip a pedal on one of those tough blocks,
you're going
or
down hard.
Right, you're down.
Oh, you're fucking down, yeah, for sure. If you clip a tough block, yeah.
You probably take some other people out too, because those things move.
Just blow a tough block into the turn.
I kind of like that idea though, because the thing I like about the cones on like the first straight for everyone is like it's not a hard boundary. So if you get pushed off, you have an opportunity to keep riding and get back on. I don't like the tough blocks because there's no. Like, it's just a hard line. Like, you instantly are fucked, basically.
No, but
at least
yeah,
that way, you
rules
can still get pushed
line
off a smidgen, and you have to pull back and in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, because the player can go all the way onto the white line, you can still be there, but you're not going to go anywhere. You're right. Not going to pass them those 30 centimeters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Beth, do you get any say on the what they're doing with the track? Because, you know, home worlds for you?
Well, if they did, I'll tell you, it wouldn't look like that. So for free. I ain't got literally nothing. I think the only thing I would say to them to change would be that jump into second corner. Like, I think it's obviously more technical, but it's just not as nice for us lot, I don't think. Like, because we're going quicker, like, we're obviously going quicker than the challenge lot, like, it just makes it harder for us. Whereas like for the challenge lot, it's going to be fine because they're not going as quick. But like, because we're kind of in between speeds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the landing still
speed. So yeah, if it was my way, I'd say change that. And they haven't changed it yet. So obviously they're not listening to me.
So is it still like that step table?
You're watching right now.
Yeah. Glasgow.
Is it still the step table thingy?
Yeah, but it's like a roller before it now, isn't it?
So it was like a kind of a triple with a table landing.
Right.
Or like a tabletop landing, whatever. And now they put a lip before it. So it's a step up, then you go down and then the little tabletop. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Mm. So ideally you want to pick up and then jump the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
that sounds
it was windy today. Yeah. We haven't done it yet.
That sounds tech, like more tech than, I don't know, especially the guy side.
Yeah, it is tech.
Track's
good. I think it's going to really reward a skilled rider for sure.
Yeah,
definitely.
Sure.
Speaking of which, obviously the three of you have phenomenal skill, and I think are three of the most skilled women in the world, no question. There's a lot of talk, obviously, about I would say. So anyway, there's a lot of talk, obviously, a lot of the time about how, you know, young girls can develop more skill and jumping and manualing, and curious to hear from the three of you what really helped you growing up and develop your skill. Beth, let's start with you. How'd you work on your skill as a young girl? Like what did you find really helped?
To be honest, I think a large number of it was probably riding and training with boys like all the time, because they just obviously don't care. Well, they're not as scared as maybe girls would be. So yeah, like they'd be like, oh, are you jumping this? Are you jumping that? And I'd be like, yeah, right. And I just send stuff with them. So I feel like a lot of it growing up was just being around boys and just getting egged on by people, I think. But yeah, you obviously got to sit a lot. And I feel like it came quite naturally to me. So I'm quite blessed in that sense. But yeah, I think just literally training around boys and getting literally forced to do stuff.
Yeah. Were you manually jumping from a young age, or did it take you a while to get
Yeah, away? Pretty much. Like, I started when I was 8, so I feel like that's quite late on in BMX. But probably by like the age of like 9, 10, I was jumping and manualing. And then, yeah, kind of just kept growing confidence and getting faster and able to jump bigger things. And I think I just loved that, like, that feeling of, you know, pushing yourself and trying new things. I feel like that's kind of up there. And just being around with your mates and just having a laugh and being like, oh, you want to try this or try that? I feel like that was big part of me and my BMX when I was younger, definitely.
Yeah, I think a lot of that unstructured riding as a kid, especially like after racing it locally or whatever, you just ride with your friends until it's dark and push each other to do stuff. I feel like that really helps kids' skills levels.
We're back.
I was just saying, I feel like the unstructured riding you do with like your friends after racing or on a local night or whatever really helps, because there's everyone's just having fun and pushing each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how like I'm too. Yeah. Beth, do you find, because obviously there's tracks vary in technicality around the world, like some are steeper than others in different countries. Obviously, North America typically they're easier, in Europe they're typically more difficult. Do you find that helped you more? Like, do you think that makes a big difference?
Yeah, I think for sure. And like where you start off, I reckon as well helps a lot. Like if you're able to travel around to tracks that are close by and that can actually challenge you, and that like they're literally different everywhere you go, I think yeah, that helps a lot. But yeah, I think Europe and France especially is like renowned for having just sick tracks and like really skillful riders. Like, and I think it, like half of it is like, I think in France, like don't, isn't like the age later for going in clips or something, or like they basically like a lot of their training is all in flat pedals, so they're always doing skills, they're always learning like without having clips on. But like, I feel like as soon as like parents think, as soon as kids get into clips, I say get into clips, but it's like you need to kind of learn the basics and be able to do all this stuff in flats first before you can kind of go into clips. So I think I did loads of stuff on my flat pedals first as well before moving on to clips.
When's the last time you, sorry, I gotta ask, when's the last time you guys rode flat pedals?
Yeah,
you can practice on clips on flats sometimes. Yeah, we just did practice on flats sometimes, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, just switch. Sprinting on flats is good, isn't it? As soon as you get back into clips, it's like,
Lauren Merrill, what about you ladies? What did you find helped you growing up and developing skill as a younger rider?
Well, I definitely agree with Beth on riding with the boys, and especially when I was younger, I would get riled up by them a lot, being like, oh, you're too scared to do that. And I would be like, well, and when I got older, I did get like more in my head and like scared and stuff. And then also it helped me a lot when the coach would just be like, and now you just clip in and you just do it. We're done with this. And then yeah, that just helped me a lot to just like find that switch and do it. Yeah. Maybe crash a few times.
You're part of
learning,
isn't it?
Yeah. But I started with our older brother, and I would just see him do stuff, and then obviously I want to do it too, but not all the time it would be successful. But we also just had a nice group of like friends at the track where we would ride with and just have a great time, just wanting to go back, not just for riding, but also just hanging out with friends. You know, we had two club nights back then, and then we'd go Tuesday, Thursday, and then on the weekend when we were able to go, we would just go an extra and have an extra session.
Or during my session, you would go
on the track. Yeah. Well, at home, they have like our local club has like different groups for different ages. So Merel would be in an hour earlier than me and my brother. So we would already be at the track, because that's going to take off us all, of course. So we would be watching or shaping track or just riding with them anyway and take an extra hour out of it. So we would just hang out with all the friends at the track all the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. The three of you all kind of said the same thing. You all had a good group of riders to train with. And I think that's really important for kids, and especially even pros too, but especially kids when you're learning skill, because it's tough to do on your own. Like, no one likes going to the track and jumping shit on their own. It's scary.
Yeah. And also what I think I see a lot nowadays is that the kids get pushed a lot by their parents to like win. And you know, everything is so serious. And like, I don't see as much like playing around and stuff like that as I think I used to have myself back in the day. So,
well, I think also for kids, they rather listen to their friends, I guess, than listen to their parents saying you have to jump this or manual this.
Mm. Now, if you see a friend win and they say you can do it too, then you like you actually think, oh yeah, probably. But if your dad says you got a pedal and jump, then you're you say,
screw you, dad.
You do it. Yeah.
What about so?
Oh yeah, definitely friends. Yeah, friends important.
Do you think having having the girls camps like that? I think that's a common thing, at least, I don't know, in Canada, is we often have a lot more girls camps these days. Is that helpful as well? Because I sometimes worry that, like, part of the reason why the girls get out of the sport later is because they feel like they don't have girls to ride with, like you say. So it's like, how do we create that? I guess it's just girls camps or get people more involved. Is that a good idea in your guys' mind?
Definitely. Yeah. I think the girls will be supportive to each other. Mm-hmm. And also, well, I thought, like, or at some age, at some point, you're like seeing boys jump stuff and there's only boys around you and they will judge you, or you think they're going to judge you for it if you're not doing it or if you're not making a jump. Mm. So if it's just girls, that judgment thing is gone, I think. You actually don't feel as judged.
Yeah.
Feel more comfortable to ride.
Yeah. And also it's kind of, you can like compare it to like, we like to ride with each other too. Yeah. So imagine younger girls doing the same.
Definitely.
Judgment thing's huge. I mean, I feel judgment when I'm in my car and I'm playing music for other people. I'm really concerned about what I'm playing. So it's like, in the real world,
what's this person at the traffic light gonna think of me?
I'm thinking like my passenger. I'm like, I'm always like, so what do you want to play? You want me to play music? Oh, you good with country? Yeah. Okay, cool. I mean, it's not my playlist, but it's a jingle. It is. A bad song comes on. Oh, that's Apple's music. Don't worry, it's not mine. It's okay.
No, you can. You've got good taste, James.
Oh, that's funny.
So, Meryl, a little change of topic. Meryl, how's the recovery gone since Verona?
Really good, actually.
Yeah.
Really good. Yeah, I'm actually doing everything again. It took me about 6 weeks, and that was actually pretty quick. Yes.
Definitely.
And like mentally, it was nice because I could do more and more every week. So I could just keep on building. And yeah, I feel really good right now. So I'm really happy with that.
We also want, go ahead, James.
Are you and Molly still friends or how's that deal?
Yes, we are. And I actually missed her very much. So I'm excited to see her again in Turkey and often. So it's going to be, but no, we're good. It's fun. Yeah. And, it was so sad. Yes, it was. I went to the first date with them, and both of them kind of they felt kind of guilty for each other. Like he was feeling shit. Well, Molly was feeling shit for Meryl. Meryl was feeling shit for Molly, and they were just like being sad in there. it was heartbreaking to see.
That's crap. Yeah, that's brutal. Like getting hurt with your friend. That's brutal.
Yeah, and I definitely got asked a lot, like, are you mad or stuff like that. But it was definitely, if I watched the race or the video, it was just a normal race accident. Like it could happen. Like I like turned very tight, and she saw the gap that was there. I saw the video. I left the gap, but I just turned
closed it very quickly.
I know for a first lap, that's a bit. Aggressive.
A bit rough.
So yeah, and Molly even asked to me, like told me multiple times that she was sorry, and I was like, no, it's fine. So it was it's sad, but we're good.
Tori, honestly, I'd be pissed if you did that to me.
Well, actually, so I was on the finish line and I didn't actually see them crash, but I see them on the ground, and they made a deal at this made a deal 2 weeks before that if this was gonna happen, that they were going to fight each other on track. Yeah. So I'm standing there. Is it happening? Like, are we getting up? Oh, backstory. A little bit of backstory. No offense to Isaac and Cameron, but that was in Houston where they like got a bit close in the last turn. They were like, getting angry
at each other. Squaring up.
And then Molly and I were like, well, if we ever crash together, we're going to pretend to fight and be like, let's go. And then it actually happened. And then after, of course, when we got home, we both said, like, I actually thought about it. And I was like, yeah, I actually thought about it too. But she was like, she was winded. Yeah, she needed to catch her breath.
You're fucked up.
And I was like, my shoulder. It was like, it's not going to happen. Two hurt to find.
Yeah, that was funny.
One thing we wanted to ask you about too, Meryl, is like you obviously have a career going on outside of BMX too. Like, may I explain a bit about that, or how, like, do you find it helps you in sport, like having something else to concentrate on as well?
Oh yes, definitely. Well, I study law besides my sport, and I'm in my second to law year, and I like it a lot because it just gives me something to put my mind.
Yeah.
A lot. Yes. Give me something to put my mind on it, like instead of just BMX, because especially in like the qualifying for Tokyo that year, I just got very stressed because I was pretty late qualifying, and it just helped me a lot that I could just after practice, instead of being like, oh, this wasn't good or that wasn't good, or oh, I need to do this or that, I could just be like, nope, I need to study or else I won't make my exams or whatever. I just love the to learn it. I love the, like, how do you say it? I'm learning, like the...
You love law.
You love the law?
Yeah, basically.
You love the law. And like, I also love to, or like, it gives me a great feeling to know that if I quit racing at some point, or like quit my BMX career, that I have something else, like that I won't be like, well, what are we going to do next? It just makes me feel a bit more safe. Yeah, secure, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important because you hear a lot of people like, you just need to focus on BMX, whatever, just saying it in general. But it's like, I think it's important to have, whether you're in school or whatever, have other interests that you can distract yourself with outside of sport. Because especially like you have a bad race or bad training session or something, instead of dwelling on it, you have something else to focus on. I think it helps you be a lot healthier as a person.
Yeah, and then I like also, besides growing and within my sport, I also grow like, all of brain wise, multiply.
You grow as a person.
Translation. in your community or whatever. Kind of.
Yeah.
Not just sports wise, also.
I like it.
Besides, like, as a person, more. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
You do something for the goals.
No, I get it. Feels like you're contributing to society or like something like that.
Growing society wise. Anyway,
Single-handedly shaping the Dutch economy
right now. Second language. I'm a bit rusty.
Do they have English classes at school too? You take, or I'm just kidding.
I don't know. No,
it was a joke. I'm kidding.
That was a flat one. That was a miss. That was a miss. Beth, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, I wanted to ask you about your book and how that all came about. I believe it's called The Power of Belief. How'd that all come about?
I don't actually know when did they come to me. I think it was like September after the games, I think. And I just basically got approached by someone saying, look, like, we want to kind of get your story down, like leading up to the games. And like, it's quite soon to kind of do a book, but we was like, yeah, why not? It was great. I think they were called Pitch Publishing came in, and then I had a ghostwriter called Sarah Juggins, and I basically just told her my story and like leading into the games and at the games. And then each chapter is like a perspective from different people in my life. So it's a pretty cool book. And if you haven't got it, go and get it now.
Huh? Yeah, plug it. Where can people buy it?
Amazon's really the best place, like, for international, like, people around the world to get it. But if not, like, you can find it in actual like bookshops around the UK. So, but yeah, if you're from Europe or whatever, I know people have bought it from Amazon. So
I would love to have my own book. We were actually talking about it, and Laura was like, well, no, just don't do that yet.
I mean, Laura's just getting warmed up in her career. She's still got lots of riding to go.
Quite soon, but maybe there could be a power belief too. I don't know. We'll see how we go.
That's such a cool, like, life, like, I don't know, monument moment, like, to have a book, to say that you have a book. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think, like, if you told me a few years ago you'd have a book in 2021 or whatever, I'd be like, nah, shut up. And here we are. So,
And now that we're almost 2 years post the Olympics, Beth, what's the last 2 years? How have things been different since winning gold? Obviously, in addition to the book, there's been more, I'm sure.
You've been at galas all the time, I feel like. I see you and, just getting dressed up.
Mate. Oh, I mean, straight after the games, it's mad, I'm not going to lie. Like, because obviously, it was a bit of a shock to everyone. Like, no one really prepares you for what comes after the games, especially when you do well. So, like, all the stuff that kept, like, coming in, like, obviously, just signed with an agent, and he was bringing in loads of things, like, carpet events, going on like TV shows, like just basically associating with all these celebrities who I've been watching like growing up, and I was like, what is going on? Like, it's just, it doesn't feel real. Like, you're in this like whole completely different world. So like, it's pretty mad that I've experienced that. But then also, yeah, just like, just being recognized in the streets, pretty mad. Like, some, I get people, like when I go to London, people around London being like, oh, you best Reba. Or like, if I'm on the tube, they'll be like, oh, did you win gold? And it's just mad, like random people recognize it. So that's probably the maddest part. But no, I've had a great, great time, like just still enjoying it. Obviously had, I think I learned a lot after winning the Worlds and trying to like go to races with that jersey on. I feel like I learned loads from that. And yeah, just excited for what's to come now, really. I'm just having a good time.
I have to ask, what is MBE? What does that stand for? I know it's
you know what MBE is?
I feel like an idiot asking. I was just like, I couldn't not ask.
It's that is actually very special as well. I forgot about that. You basically, it's like to do with like your services towards like what you do. So basically it's like I got awarded for my services towards BMX racing. I think most Olympians who won gold got an awarded an MBE, and you basically get invited to either Buckingham Palace or Windsor Castle, and you get an awarded like a little medallion. And I got awarded a medallion from Prince William, so that's pretty special. Like, my whole family were there. Bryn was there. Is in this massive like gold room with like all these royal guards and stuff.
That's
sick. It's pretty mad. Like, even stuff like that would just never have happened. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's just very, very special. When like, I know how lucky and grateful I am. Like, I take it all in, like, as it comes. So, yeah, mental, really.
I feel like England's a really cool country if you do well at the Olympics, too, because they seem to really get behind their athletes and support everyone really well.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we don't get paid or anything, which is a bit rubbish. Unlike these spot. But, yeah, we get all these cool little things afterwards, I guess, which is pretty sick. So yeah, if they just maybe change that thing, like if you win, you actually get money, that would be pretty cool.
Some older sisters, how much you guys make off your medals? You want to throw a number out there?
Well, you can Google it.
Yeah, so
disclaimer, we have to pay a lot of tax. You just pay full tax on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's like you keep the whole
shebang.
No.
But, but that's like with any income though. I mean,
pretty much in it, yeah.
Yeah, but then you're thinking you're getting extra, but then you're still paying like 40%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like anything. Yeah.
Like, it's great that they do it.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but I don't know, nothing.
So we talking like five figures or
experiences.
True.
I think that's worked a lot
too. It's so interesting how so many different countries like reward medalists differently. Like, some it's like you're set for life, and others it's like, oh, some job.
Philippines gets like a house.
Yeah, like the whole thing is actually one of the worst. Like, if they pay, they're
somewhere at the bottom.
Yeah, Canada's not great either, for sure. If you win a medal, but
speaking of which, Beth, congrats on the new king. You guys had
King Charles.
King Charles. He was in. What is the when he was coronated? I don't know.
Coronation. Yeah. Did you watch him get his crown put on or anything?
No, I didn't watch it live, but I did see the videos afterwards.
It was good.
Do they do anything? Do they do anything, or they just like hang out and like are just royal?
I mean,
have you seen the royals on Netflix?
No, but like, do they like actually do anything? Or they just like, do they just more of a symbol, right?
Yeah, more of a symbol, 100%. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Like, yeah, he's the king now, isn't it, for a bit? It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Laura, we got to ask you about the whole debacle that happened last month or a couple weeks ago that you weren't in Tulsa?
Yeah, that was so sad. Pretty much was at the airport for a whole day in Amsterdam on Monday. Dropped me off in the morning.
Very early, thank you.
Nice.
Anyway, was there the whole day. The flight got delayed, and then it was meant to leave at 10:30 in the morning. Eventually, they said, "Oh, we'll leave at 5 p.m."
Oh, brutal.
So I'm still sitting there thinking, you know, we might go. I was gonna go Atlanta, then Tulsa. Then at 3, I think, they said, you know, we're not going to fly. Come back tomorrow. We'll have a new flight for you guys in the morning.
I'll try again tomorrow.
Yeah. No, they were going to get a new plane because there was some technical issues with the plane that was there for us. So it's good that we didn't fly. But, yeah, so they gave me an option for the next morning. But... With all the trouble with the luggage in Amsterdam lately, plus the layover that they gave me was very short in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I was probably not even going to make it, let alone my bags in Atlanta. So I thought with all that stress of me making it or my bags not even going to make it, I'm not going to be prepared that well for the race. And I knew, you know, Saya, Elise, Felicia, they were all there. I'm like, I don't want to race feeling like shit. Mm. That's not going to work. So I thought, you know what? I'll go home. I could get my money back from the flight because it was KLM's fault, of course, for not having the flight. So I thought, you know, I'll have the weather was actually nice that week. So I got good training out of it. But yeah, I was very sad because I really wanted to race that one. Because that was my last race before the World Cups were going to start. So now I don't have race before the World Cups. So
yeah, I was gonna ask, your schedule's been much lighter this year. You getting old on us or what?
Tori taking shots.
I had a good plan, but no. It will get busy though.
Yeah, again. Well busy.
So. That's fine, and I just want to, you know, have fun then and have a lot of energy and hopefully do well again on all the World Cups. Okay. It's going to be Turkey 1 week or 2 weekends off, Papendal, Dutch champs, European champs, and then a few weekends off, then Worlds, and then after Worlds it's going to be busy again. So
yeah,
this season is basically pushed back.
Yeah, it's just we're starting a bit later with all the hectic shit. But I've done enough traveling at the start of the year. Pardon, Jesus.
Side note: How is it with Commensal now?
It's good. I thought it was really cool. I didn't know they were actually interested in me last year. Like I was just having fun, hanging around, just watching the world champs in Liège. And then at the end of the year, they came with an offer, and I was happy with it. So. Took it, still happy with it, and the new bike's coming soon, so
cool.
That's very exciting.
About time. I think Sylvan told me last year it was supposed to be ready by like June last year, so it's good to hear.
Yeah, I don't know how that went, but they've been quite busy with it. But I think, he's tested it 2 weeks ago, I think.
Oh.
And he was very positive. Soon
that's cool. I got a question in the chat here. I'm hoping it's going to stir some beef up between the women and the men in the sport. All right, from Alicia English, with your guys' following now, with someone like Mariana's following Elise, you guys have grown so much in the sport. Do you think the women of BMX have a larger exposure or impact globally than the men do?
Well, some of our women definitely have a larger impact than other.
Mariana.
Yeah. I mean, Mariana, for sure. Yeah. No question.
Oh, yeah. You went viral.
That doesn't count.
How many views did you get? Well, go and tell the people.
You know.
Tell
how many? Was it like?
Millions.
Well, 20 mil or something.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I think especially Mariana has a huge following, of course, in South America, and she's good for the sport too. I think she does a great job with her social media as well. Myself, not so much. I'm not really great at it. I need help from Merel sometimes, reminding me to post something. But yeah, I think definitely if you're looking at numbers, then a few girls have definitely larger following. So definitely some impact somewhere. I don't know exactly where, but
11.5 million on that video, Merel.
11.5 mil.
She just nods. Yeah.
Yep. She's like, yep, that was mine.
maybe not
the impact I was trying to make with that video.
it wasn't even a writing video, was it? No.
Classic.
James, we got a bunch of quick shots. Want to start getting through some of these questions from the grandstands?
Absolutely. Do you want to start asking them?
So we got a bunch of questions. Well, I just asked one of you for each question. Beth from Eli Shaw, favorite continent outside of Europe to race?
Oh, that's a good one.
Good question.
Probably
continents.
My geography is not that good. But can you
can go with country maybe if you feel like
it. South America.
Okay.
P Daddy, you got them in front of you also?
Negatory.
Okay, sorry, so buddy. This is a solo mission. Yes, <but. sorry. laughs> All right. Merel from Merel, Jillster BMXer. What gearing do you run on a non-supercross track?
Well, I'm actually debating on that with Laura a little bit. Because I am racing a non-supercross race next weekend, and I'm actually not sure yet. normally, my last non-supercross race was Sambrio, and that was 47.18 with 175 cranks. So,
not your standard gear.
All right, Laura from Alyssa McKay. When did you start seriously training for BMX?
Since day one.
No, I think when I was 15, 16, I was training with the national talent team, which was only one time a week, and then two club nights. So that was a bit more serious. But then, when I turned junior, it was a bit more. But really serious 2011 summer.
Yeah.
So when I was 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a quick question for all three of you from Dree Pankerson 07. Will all three of you be taking part in the European Games this year?
Yeah.
European Games.
Games?
Well, European Games. European Champs,
isn't it? No. We don't have European Games.
European
this
Championship.
Year, but European Champs, yes.
When are the European Games every 4 years, right?
Well, we've had one in 2015, like official games, like you have the Pan Ams.
Yeah.
But we didn't really have it after, but we had 2018 European Champs was together with a few other cycling disciplines, right?
Yeah.
And now we're having Worlds with other cycling disciplines, but our European Champs is just BMX.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right. But the European Games, you guys had it in Baku in 2015. Have you had it since then?
That's the only one we've had.
Really? Why?
First and last.
Why?
I think money.
Is it BMX has only been in that one and it's, or what?
No, there's not been a European Games.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. That was really? The only just the one off. Baku money.
You got plenty of that.
They have, yeah, because they have there's also Arabian Games too, and they already had the village in Baku. That's why the European Games was there, because everything was already built.
Oh,
move in and use it.
You learn something new every day.
Yeah.
Another quick one for all three of you. 101 beats up. If all three of you are hitting the turn at the same time, who's pulling brakes?
That's good to know. Oh, thanks.
See you later.
No idea. Depends on the situation, the jump. Like if there's the trip.
There's a lot of variables here.
There's triple. Depends on jumping. But we know Beth's out. So it's only me and
you to fight it out.
You had the question if Laura would put me over the turn a lot of the time already. So
I've never done it. So. I've never done it.
But you would.
Oh.
All right. Beth from P.O. Mark Cooler. Which track is the most technical, Old Manchester or Glasgow?
Oh, if we talk old Manchester,
like OG Manchester,
or the Manchester with when it had the massive step up as the first jump, that one way more technical than Glasgow, I'd say.
Old Manchester was fucking death, that place.
Yeah, that it was pretty mad, wasn't it?
Yeah,
but like it was cool at the same time because only like the top riders could do that track. Do you know what I mean?
2016 Manchester was so gnarly.
Yeah, Matt, like the men's side, that pro straight,
was, and I remember like we're in 2016, we came from Argentina, we're having our first session. I was looking around, I was like, well, there's nowhere even for us to warm up on the track. Like you just got to send and shit.
Gotta go in. Straight ahead, you go. Yeah, old Manchester, definitely.
Yeah. Laura from Peyton Duffy Racing, what do you think about before race?
Oh.
As in on the gate? Or
say like before a main, like behind the gate or whatever. What do you think about?
I usually try like see myself ride the first straight, mainly just get out the gates, do like get that feeling of the first straight.
Meryl from T.O. Josh Larson, what's your favorite race event?
Babylon.
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
Babylon,
yeah.
For us, it's special because it's our home track and it's, it's cool to race there. But for you guys, it's also, it's a good road prep, right?
That was like, I was always my favorite. Well, I liked Argentina just because it was really good atmosphere, but Papna, I think, was the best one. Yeah.
True. Argentina is really nice too.
Yeah.
But Argentina was always, hey, we're going back. Yeah.
Hey. Santiago del Estero will never die.
No. 2 weekends, even. It's getting 2 weekends.
Double the fun.
I might go race it again just to go there.
You should. Yeah. You want to be there. Watch out. Yeah. You're making.
I miss that place.
You don't want to do the flights, but you want to be there.
That's a special experience on its own.
Yeah.
All right, Beth from Peyton BMX 17. What are some tips to help with mindset and believing in yourself?
That's a good question, that one. Probably I'd say a big one is like you got to focus on controlling what you can control. Like, I can't control what Laura and Meryl are doing. So I just need to focus on myself, focus what I can control. And a big one for me is, as long as you can say you've done your best, then that's all that anyone can ask of you. Like, that helps me a lot. Like, I know that my mum and dad are still going to be there if I'm last or I'm first. Like, no matter what happens, as long as I say I gave it everything and what happens on the track happens on the track. So I'd say making sure you've got a good support group behind you and knowing that they love you no matter what and they're going to be there no matter what is a big thing. Because I know sometimes, like Meryl said earlier, parents are just so obsessed with just you need to win. But they need to see the bigger picture as well. And it's literally just about having fun, giving it everything, and what will be, because there's so much can happen in a BMX race. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? As long as you just do what you can and do it 100%, then that's it, really. So, yeah, hope that helps.
I like it.
Sorry, were you saying something, James?
No, I said I like that answer. That was great.
Oh, thanks.
Meryl from Chris Leary. If you could give yourself one bit of advice when you started riding, what would it be?
Well, I think it's like very, well, not cringy, but like not care what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think about and worry about that way, mm-hmm. way too much. And I think it has helped me back from, I don't know, doing more or, I don't know, jumping things or getting out of my comfort zone just because I was scared of what people thought of me. If I cased something or if I would jump sketchy or something, because I would do that quite a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry.
All right,
yeah. Well, at some point it just helped me back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. All right, Laura, another mental prep question from James Jarrett. How do you mentally prepare for each race?
Good question. Eat ice cream. No. Well, it is part of it. Like, don't go in too serious. Mm. Like, just like have a good time. And if I feel good, then I ride at my best. So yeah, just the having the ice cream for me is just like, you know, I'll go out and have a little ice cream with Meryl, with Klaus, my coach, just hang out the night before, just talk shit about whatever. It doesn't have to be about BMX and doesn't have to be about, you know, you gotta do a good job tomorrow. It's a serious race day tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, we're just, you know, relax. You gotta have a good sleep after. Just try to be chill about it and, you know, we're gonna have a good time.
That's it.
Beth, from Looking To It, if you could make any changes to the sport of BMX, what would they be?
That's a huge question.
That's massive.
Start writing. You bring this normal heavy questions.
Well, firstly, we need it televised out there a bit more, especially in the UK. We need it like on the mainstream television so people can watch it. Because like in the UK, like gymnastics is televised, obviously football, rugby. But like, yeah, BMX should be out there because it's such a sick sport. I think there's always talks about like what like kind of racing structure would be best for people to like watch and be excited to watch. But I feel like the Olympics always works out pretty good, like that kind of setup, I'd say, just because there's a lot of racing, a lot goes on.
And it's not decided in one.
Yeah, it's not. That's it. Like it's all a point system. So I feel like the audience kind of loves that kind of setup. So maybe talks about that. Obviously, more money from sponsors somewhere. That would be great.
But
somewhere.
Television will help that. But yeah, we need like a big, big sponsor to sort us all out. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like the track stuff's like, I feel like everyone kind of looks out for each other. Like, I feel like it's a good like BMX community. Like, we need like a Netflix series, maybe.
Yes.
That would help.
Yes. Right.
Like, you know, like the Formula One thing, like doing that bit of that. I think that'd be so cool.
Yeah.
Sick. I don't know. Like, I think quite a lot of people would have probably more to say, but yeah I don't know. I think that's
pretty cool. Do they show World Cups and World Champs on Sky Sports in Great Britain or anything like that?
No. They do World Champs on BBC One, but I think only from like quarters or semis.
Yeah.
So, yeah, still not that great. But yeah.
Do they show them in Holland, ladies?
Only like afterwards. They would. Yeah, if we do good, then we're in the news. But if not, then not.
Yeah.
Okay, just reminded me, I have two country questions. So, Smaller Sisters, what's the difference between Holland and the Netherlands? Why are they interchangeable?
I can answer that one.
It's not interchangeable. No, you can't call the Netherlands Holland, because in Holland we have a province, northern of Holland, southern of Holland.
So the country is the Netherlands and the provinces are north and southern.
Ah, so when we say, when us like North American assholes say Holland, it's just wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
it's not our country. It's not the country.
Interesting.
I feel like it's such a common slang thing to say though, going to Holland.
Yeah, it's easier.
I think
it's
shorter.
I use it a lot too. It's shorter. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. All right, Beth, this one's also a country question. So there's a Great Britain Olympic team, and then the, like in soccer, there's like at the World Cup, then there's like England, and then Scotland and Ireland are separate. So why is it sometimes together? Why is it sometimes separate?
You're asking the wrong person, to be honest. I don't actually know. I think it's to do, I'm not even going to answer, so I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm really sorry. Was it or Marcus was here, they probably wouldn't know. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to embarrass myself and try to explain.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough.
Rich Ames tried to explain it to me once, and he explained it very well, and I still can't figure it out.
I think he did too, and I can't remember what he said.
Not hope for me.
In one ear, out the other.
So Beth, then also with the world in Scotland, does it feel like a home World Cup or a home World Champs or not?
Yeah, it does. I think a lot of my friends will be there. Obviously, hopefully my family can come, which would be great. Like, it's quite a rarity to have like my mum and dad watching me race these days. So to have a big race that they can actually come and watch me is going to be very special. It does feel like a home kind of World Champs, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be really good, like really good.
All right, last question for all three of you from Frida the Slayer W1. What is some advice to younger female athletes?
Wow, was this for everyone? Younger female.
Just ride lots, have fun, enjoy a little bike time.
Yeah.
Don't start to do sprints too early.
Yeah, I mean,
just ride the track.
I think it's true. I think we've given already quite a few.
Got a lot.
Tips, like, watch back this whole thing, have fun, ride with boys, have fun again
have more fun,
don't think about what other people think.
Skills
at the young age is the most important thing to learn.
So
pedal sessions,
sessions
with your friends.
I need ice cream,
boys and girls.
Ice cream.
All right, ladies, we really appreciate you coming on. Thank you for dedicating an hour to us. We really appreciate it. We know you're out of camp, so we don't want to take too much of your time. But thanks again. It was awesome chatting with the three of you.
Thank you, too.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thanks, ladies. We're going to kick you off now and finish with a 15-minute chat here. I don't know how to do that.
Oh, yeah, ladies, you might have to hang up on us.
Okay.
I got him.
See you, ladies. three absolute studs. Those are three outstanding athletes and great people. So thanks a lot to Bethany Schriever, Laura Smulders, Meryl Smulders. We had three Olympic medalists on there, gold, bronze. So it was awesome chatting to the three of them and hearing more of a women's perspective on BMX and the sport, which I thought was pretty interesting.
I love it. I think we did 200, show number 200, a service here. We did it right. I think we did a good job. I hope people like it. I hope people enjoy that.
We're going to have our meeting after the show, after we hang up. Yo, you think it went well?
Yeah. do you think that was that good? Did I say the right thing?
It was interesting to hear the perspective. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. A lot of the things we talk about, I feel like sometimes we get geared towards the men's side. Obviously, two guys here, it's a male-dominated sport, but like we mentioned, like some of the biggest names in the sport are females, and we want to hear what they have to say, hear their voice, because it's all equal right there, racing. So cool to hear some opinions on, like, I enjoy the debates and the conversations about line choices, where the cone should be, airbags, that kind of stuff. And it's cool to hear their opinions and what they think should be on there.
Yeah, no doubt. So hope everyone enjoyed it. Had to grind through this one, Palm Daddy. Got home late last night from Mississippi. I'm grinding today.
The kids, he's not sleeping. The show 200, I'm glad to hear you pushed through.
Yeah, it's been a busy last 10 days. I need a day off. Dude, I haven't had a day off in like 2 weeks. Because I was in Chilliwack for a few days, grinded, then had meetings on the Monday, flew home late Monday night. This was last week.
Yeah.
Flew home late Monday night, was home for Tuesday, Wednesday, and then just coached and did my usual programming, whatever, Tuesday, Wednesday. Flew Thursday to Mississippi And dude, Thursday night was cool, actually. I did like a talk and discussion with a group of doctors and surgeons.
Dude, I saw that. That was out of nowhere, yeah. I thought. I didn't know you were doing that. That's cool.
Thanks to John Morilato. He set it up. He's an orthopedic surgeon in, get this. So he's an orthopedic surgeon. He lives in like outside Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Dude, he's from Maple Ridge originally.
No shit.
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, that's like right by where me and James grew up and where our local track is. Anyway, so he lives there with his family. And so, yeah, he picked me up. We went for a journal club. So basically, we discussed some different articles on like peak performance and mental approach and that kind of thing. So they're talking about it. We'd have a discussion and they'd talk about it from like a surgeon's perspective. And then he'd flip it to me and like I'd talk about how I use visualization and prepared mentally for big races and that kind of stuff. It was really cool. I got to say, it was kind of intimidating to speak in front of like 30 or 40 like doctors or surgeons who are super smart people.
Yeah. I mean, they're all experts in their field. The things that they do to the body are life-saving to people. Yeah. That's wild. That's really cool. And it's kind of interesting how, I mean, sports can relate to a lot of different things. In that sense, like having to have your focus, like to focus in, use visualization for stuff. Like I'm sure that they do the exact same when they're preparing for a big surgery or something like that.
It was fascinating to hear them. Yeah. Cause they, like in some of the journals, it was written by a surgeon and he was talking about how he would use visualization for his surgeries. And it was this, he'd prep the same that we would for races. And to hear like the residents and some of the surgeons talk about like how they think they can be better in surgery. Like one of the surgeons was saying, yeah, like sometimes it's just a beautiful surgery. Like he was a hand specialist and I think like a pretty successful, like well-known one in the area.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how sometimes there's like, he's like, the surgery was beautiful. Like everything went perfect. Like I think I ticked all my boxes and then the patient comes in 2 weeks later and still has no range of motion. And I'm like, what the hell happened?
No way.
And so he's like we need to be accountable and make sure like we like, you know, tick all our boxes, make sure we go through everything. And it's just fascinating to hear from their perspective because they're under insane pressure, obviously.
Yeah, that's nuts. I would never like, you think that it, when it goes that smooth, it's like, it's good to go. But it's like, you're right. When you're dealing with little things like something in the hand, I mean, they mess one little thing up and it's like, cool. Yeah, you're right. I can't move my hand. That's nuts.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. Anyway, really enjoyed it. Thanks to Bernie Brenneman and the rest of the crew at Magridge BMX also for having me out. Had a couple of great groups for the clinic on the weekend and went really well. Really enjoyed it.
Hell yeah. Love to hear it, buddy.
Yeah. Now we're back grinding, but yeah, good weekend. Enjoyed it. I'll actually be in Eagle County, Colorado in a few weeks for my next clinic. So looking forward to that. Contact the track if you'd like to register. But yeah, I need a day off this week.
Yep. Yeah. We'll give you some rest after this. It'll be fine. Show 200 was a must. Had to get it in. Ladies were available at one time. I was available at one time. We made it work.
Oh, so before we hang up, I gotta tell the story about my flight yesterday.
Oh, please do. These are always the best stories to me.
I'm flying Jackson, Dallas, Dallas to San Diego.
Okay.
The flight from Jackson is like 20 minutes delayed. Not a big deal. I had like a couple hours in Dallas, so not a big deal. We get on the plane and it's like, we're another 10 or 15 minutes delayed on the tarmac for whatever reason. So now we're running like 30 minutes behind.
Okay.
So then the pilot comes on and he's like, yeah, you know, we're behind. I'm going to try and like make up the time. Blah, blah. You know, they say like, I'm going to try and make it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, I'll just go faster. Yeah. Dude,
dude, whatever. All of a sudden he comes on the PA like halfway through the flight. He's like, good news, folks. I found a shortcut. We're going to get there 30 minutes beforehand. So we're going to get there at the proper time now. And I'm thinking, what the fuck do you, motherfucker, what do you mean you found a shortcut? It's like, did you find a tunnel from Jackson, Mississippi to Dallas, Fort Worth that we can just fly through? It's like, what do you mean? We're in the air, dude. Like, what do you mean we found a shortcut?
We're already flying straight there. We're not taking a detour. We're not taking the scenic route around the corner. Like,
and I'm just like, okay, what? All right, cool. Like, you know what? Awesome. We're getting there on time. Fantastic. That wasn't the end of it. So then like, we're starting like half an hour to go or something, or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I see the flight attendant, the dude's walking down the aisle and I see him holding a cell phone and he's going like, he's kind of like going left and then going right, going left and going right and showing people something on the phone. So I was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah.
He comes to me. He's not saying anything. He comes to me. He shows it to me. It's a photo of a piece of paper that says landing in 28 minutes. And he shows it to me and he goes,
we found a shortcut.
I'm like, this, I've never seen this whole circus act before on a flight. No. I've been on flights in my day. I've never seen this whole thing.
Unfucking believable.
Yeah, so they were really beating this shortcut to death. That's
incredible, dude. They were so proud of that. Like, we found something.
Yeah, but imagine that. A guy takes a photo of, like, a Sharpie note on a piece of paper on the phone and is showing.
Why not just walk down with a piece of paper, first of all?
I don't get it. The whole thing was hilarious to me, and I just went with it.
Oh, we found 28 minutes. We're good, guys. We're good.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, yeah, you know, that was something.
Unreal, dude. Gotta love those stories. They suck in the moment, but, you know, afterwards you'd have a laugh about it.
But hey, pilot found a shortcut, so we're good to go.
Yeah, unreal.
Is that all we got today?
I think that's it. I mean, I'll give a quick shout out. Thank you, obviously, to Bethany, Merrill, Laura as well, but also to everyone listening. Show 200 of Coffee Chatter. We just had 3 Olympic medalists on the show, 1 Olympic gold medalist, all at the same time. You told me when we were starting the show up, you know, I don't think I would have ever thought that was going to happen, and we just made it happen. So unbelievable.
Yeah. 200 shows into this outfit, and we're not stopping anytime soon. We're going to keep building. So we really appreciate, first of all, our sponsors on board that have supported us past and present. One being our presenting sponsor of the show, ProGate Europe, and Jan Skippers. We really appreciate his support. Thanks to all of you listeners who have supported us. Throughout the whole thing. And we really get a kick out of it. Enjoy when you guys come up to us at races and yell Coffee Chatter or say you love the show or whatever. Happens all the time to us, and honestly never gets old. It's cool.
Low-key, the funniest times when you're just riding or walking by and someone, that's all they yell. They don't yell your name.
Coffee Chatter!
You're just like looking around. Who is that? Who's Coffee Chatter? Yeah,
we really appreciate the support. So yeah, thanks guys.
Unreal.
We're going to make it to 300 also.
Oh, we're doing it.
Yeah.
If we're at like 500,000 views, we got to get to like 500,000 shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. We're going to hit 1 million views at some, or we're going to hit 1 million listens at some point.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If we do another 100 shows, I think we can get there. If we keep having guests on like these 3, I mean, chipping away. We got an axe out basically. We're just chipping away.
Answer S Squared Claiborne, get yours today.
Get it, guys. They have a website. You can exchange currency for product. It's incredible. Hell of a show.
I love a good currency for product exchange.
It's just the way, it's so good, isn't it? You give a little bit, you get something else. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So
all right, folks. We'll see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Hit it, snap on green.
Snap on green.
Yeah, well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee Chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the truck.
I hate that guy.